anointed forefathers in lead coffins there. The clubbists tittered, except the girl called Tess, in whom a slow heat seemed to rise at the sense that her father was making himself foolish in their eyes. Tess's pride would not allow her to turn her head again, to learn what her father's meaning was, if he had any, and thus she moved on with her whole body to the enclosure where there was to be dancing on the green. As there were no men in the company, the girls danced first with each other, but when the hour for the close of labour drew on, the masculine inhabitants of the village, together with other idlers and pedestrians, gathered round the spot and appeared inclined to negotiate for a partner. Among these onlookers were three young men of a superior class, carrying small knapsacks strapped to their shoulders and stout sticks in their hands. Their general likeness to each other and their consecutive ages would almost have suggested that they might be what in fact they were, brothers. These three brethren were spending their Whitsun holidays in a walking tour through the Vale of Blackmoor, their course being southwesterly from the town of Shaston on the northeast. The two elder of the brothers were plainly not intending to linger more than a moment, but the spectacle of a bevy of girls dancing without male partners seemed to amuse the third and make him in no hurry to move on. He unstrapped his knapsack, put it with his stick on the hedge bank, and opened the gate.
What are you going to do, Angel? Asked the eldest.
I'm inclined to go and have a fling with them.
I'll overtake you and Cuthbert in 5 minutes. Don't stop. I give my word that I will, Felix.
The two elder reluctantly left him and walked on, taking their brother's knapsack to relieve him in following, and the youngest entered the field.
This is 1,000 pities, he said gallantly to 2 or 3 of the girls nearest him as soon as there was a pause in the dance. Where are your partners, my dears?
They've not left off work yet, answered one of the boldest.
They'll be here by and by. Till then, will you be one, sir?
The young man thus invited took almost the first that came to hand, which was not the speaker, as she had expected. Nor did it happen to be Tess Durbeyfield. Pedigree, ancestral skeletons, monumental record, the d'Urberville lineaments did not help Tess in her life's battle as yet, even to the extent of attracting to her a dancing partner over the heads of the commonest peasantry. The church clock struck when suddenly the young man said that he must leave. As he fell out of the dance, his eyes lighted on Tess Durbeyfield, whose own large orbs wore, to tell the truth, the faintest aspect of reproach that he had not chosen her.